I had open heart surgery 20 years ago, and I've had, I was saying yesterday, I have had 10 stents put in my heart throughout the last 20 years, and I did have an episode, as the pastor referred to, when I was preaching in Willimantic over the weekend, similar to what I was doing here yesterday. Well, I had a Saturday session. It was longer than this yesterday, but it was about a six-hour session of teaching on the end times. And so they worked me to death practically all the time. And then staying over on Sunday, well, I couldn't complete it. I finished almost Saturday and had to go to the hospital. And so just keep me in prayer. I when I get to heaven, I'm going to have to ask the Lord why he gave me so much energy in such a weak body. You know, I've got to ask him that question. So I am so filled with, I have my metabolism runs high. And I just run, you know, and I love what I'm doing. I love preaching about the coming of the Lord. While many other pastors were neglecting the teaching on the coming of the Lord, I was studying it, and it wouldn't let me go. And every day I pray to the, just about every day, I pray to the Lord, say, Lord, help me to understand what's going on in the world. Help me to understand the nations. I want to be like Jeremiah the prophet that understands what you're doing in the nation. So keep me in prayer. But anyway, today, this morning, I want to speak to you about the prophetic state of our nation and the world. And it certainly is true that because the Lord is using the United States of America, I don't find America specifically mentioned in the Bible, but you can tell by what God says about the nations that he's talking about any nation that fits what the Bible says. And America fits in many situations that are in the Bible. So I do know that God is using America, has used America, whether for good or for bad, as some people might think. I'm glad I was born here in America. My parents and my family, on both sides of my family, all came from Italy. I was born here in the States. And I always tell everybody I'm a member of the FBI, the full-blooded Italians. And so my father was Italian, my mother is Italian, and so here I am. So thank God. And yesterday, I had my large chart. It was a 15-footer. It stands about 6 foot my height, and is about 15 feet long. And it looks something like this, and you can purchase those in the back end, but only was 15 feet long. And this is a chart that tells the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, and a little bit of the Old Testament. You might enjoy that. So if you want to purchase that, you can see my wife. Is it okay if I mention my books this morning, Pastor? I don't want to be a salesman here, but please take a look at the books. My wife, who's very practical, as I said, wrote this book, The Other Side of the Pulpit, The Dreams and Screams of Pastor's Wives. And as I said yesterday, she's dreamt a lot and she's screamed a lot, you know. She was my organist and pianist for 45 years, and she was terrific. And she was there to work in children's church, help with youth, anything that her hand could find, she was doing it. So that's her book. Take a look at that. I wrote this book this last year. It's a novel on the book of Revelation. If you want to find out what the book of Revelation says, I deal with each chapter by chapter, and I write a chapter in the book. There's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. There's 22 chapters in my book. And it's about a man who gets raptured. I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. But he gets raptured. And God sees him in heaven and says, I want you to go back and live through the great tribulation. Now, that's theologically not correct. But it is a novel, is what it is. So I wrote a novel. So understand that if you read that. It is a novel. You may find it interesting. And if you're interested in spiritual warfare, I make the claim that spiritual warfare is not between us and the devil. Spiritual warfare is between God and the devil. And we happen to be on the Lord's side. And the devil, God has your worship, the devil wants your worship. That's the fight. And it's called intergalactic warfare because it's more than just fighting for America, it's fighting for the control of the whole universe and the world and the whole universe. I didn't write this book, but a friend of mine, Little David Walker, who's been to Zion many times, Little David and Kathy Walker, and he wrote a book about Israel. You may enjoy the placement of those nations. And this one here is not, I didn't write this one either, but I carry this one just for $2. It's a pamphlet and a study guide on the book of Romans. So just know they're there. So see my wife. And thank God. Amen. That's enough of the sales part. But I want you to be able to understand, enjoy some prophetic things. And I want you to turn in your Bible, and I have the scripture there from Jeremiah chapter 18. As I said earlier, Jeremiah is my one of my favorite prophets, and is my favorite prophet, I should say. And I want you to understand that when I teach it, when I've taught at Zion or North Point, now it is called, when I taught there, I always tried to make sure that my classes understood that I believed in the seven literal days of creation in the Bible. And we looked at my chart about that because it shows the pre-Adamic world, but I don't get into that. I believe that God created the earth in seven literal days, not 7 million years, nothing like that. Seven literal days where he actually spoke, and the evening and the morning, as it says, was the first day or the second day, etc. God created that. And so, and we didn't come from apes, nothing like that. But I'll tell you a little story about little Susie who came to her father and said, Dad, where did we come from? And her father said, well, you know, she was just a little girl. And her father said, well, it started with a little cell and millions of years ago, and it became multiple cells, and then and it formed an animal, and pretty soon more animals came, and finally the apes came, and the apes were kind of like on their all fours or bowed over, but then all of a sudden the apes started to stand erect, and then it formed a man and a woman, and so his conclusion as he talked with the little Susie said, well, we came from the apes. And so she walked away from her father and went to her mother and said, Mommy, I was just talking with Dad and Daddy, and Daddy said that we came from the apes. I thought you said that God created us and that he made us out of the dust of the earth, and it's written in the Bible, and we came from God, not from the apes. And her mother says, oh, don't worry about that. I was talking about my side of the family. He was talking about his side of the family. So take your pick, you know, whatever you want. And I make sure my Bible school students know that. It's seven literal days, not millions of years. But in Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse, beginning with verse 1, we always put ourselves in this position, this spot. And that is the potter's house, where the potter goes down and he works with pottery, and we find the vessel is marred and it's recreated. And it says in verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And a lot of times we interject ourselves there and say, well, you know, I was a person that was far away from God, and I was created, but then God had to remake me because I made mistakes, and I was marred. I was a marred vessel, and then I got saved, and God remade me. And that's okay to do that, to put yourself and interject yourself in this particular verse. But that's not what the verses are about. It's not about you, although you can put yourself there. That, as I said, it's fine. He was really talking about the nation of Israel. That's the context. And we read on in the verse where it says in verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, and house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. It's about the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel is very important in today's time. The nation of Israel is back in their land, and thank you, Pastor. The nation of Israel is back in their land, and they have been there as a nation since 1948. And so he says it's about the nation of Israel. Well, it goes on to say, and it expands it from the nation of Israel, because then it says in verse 7, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it. So, in other words, if God speaks to America or any other nation and says, I'm ready to destroy you because of your evil and your sin, verse 8 says, if that nation against whom I have pronounced this turns from their evil, I will repent, or I will forget about the evil that I thought I was going to do to them. So in other words, if a nation is filled with repentance, that's why there's hope for America. I'm not sure about the political system, but I'm sure about the church. The church can pray and pray for revival and pray for a move of God like never before. That's what we can pray for, and we can hone into that, and we can pray into that revival for our church and for your church, no matter where you are. And then it goes on to say in verse 9, "And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, like the United States of America, 1776, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution following, etc., a Revolutionary War. If it says, if I say to a nation, you're going to be built and planted, verse 10 says, if it does evil in my sight, that it does not obey my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I was going to benefit them." That's the state of America today. I also wrote another book, which I don't have with me, but you can get it at Amazon.com, and these others as well, you can get at Amazon.com too. But you can get it at Amazon.com, and it's called The Cultural Collapse of America. And we are in the throes of collapse. I don't care who you talk to. You can talk to white people, black people, Asian people, Spanish people. All of them have the feeling that even in their own culture, America is collapsing. Something is happening. Something is changing. I don't think America will be destroyed necessarily, but we're changing because of what God is doing in the future for the rest of the world. So no matter who the president is, because I was saying this when George Bush was president, I was saying this when Barack Obama was president, and I was saying this now, I'm saying this now when Donald Trump is president, that if Donald Trump would stand on the Capitol steps and along with his administration and along with the senators and the members of the House of Representatives and maybe the Supreme Court and others who would stand, they would stand and say, and he would lead the direction as the president, and he would say, "Oh God, we've come together as the entire legislative and judicial and administrative body of the United States of America. We stand here to repent. We stand here to say, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us because we have been unrighteous and we have been unholy and we have not listened to the voice of God." Do you think that God would listen to Donald Trump and the rest of the administration people? You think God would listen to them? Of course he would. The Bible says it right here, that if they would repent of the evil that God said he was going to do to them, God would forget about that, and he would forgive the sin. And that's where I think we are in this, as a state of America. That's where, when you talk about the prophetic state of our nation, that's where we are. We have become polarized, meaning the two types of parties and the two people that, and groups of people rather, I should say, that should be working together are not working together. And something is happening in our nation. And that's a sure sign, polarization. I write that in my book, this book here, when I talk about the polarization of a country and how that can lead to its collapse. Well, when we think of Israel, and that's what I said part of this context is, we think of Jerusalem, the city of God, which was just declared by the president. And the city of God, Jerusalem, was mentioned here in 1 Kings 11. It's also found in 1 Kings 14:21 and 2 Chronicles 12:13. It says, and listen to this scripture, "But I will take the kingdom out of his sons' hand," Solomon's son, his name was Jeroboam, "I'm going to take it out of his hand." He's speaking to Rehoboam. I put that in parenthesis there. He's speaking about Rehoboam, and he said, "I'm going to give it to you, Rehoboam, 10 tribes, this was the split, this was the breakup of the nation, and to his son I will give one tribe, that is to Jeroboam, I'm going to give one tribe to Jeroboam that my servant Jeroboam was the son of David, that David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, listen to this now, the city which I have chosen for myself to put my name there." You see, actually, the city of Jerusalem, and I would say the nation, actually belongs to God. The city of Jerusalem does not belong to the Jews, although God gave it to the Jews, we know, the sons of Isaac, we know that part. But technically, the city belongs to God. The Arabs Islam tries to say it's their city, but it doesn't belong to them. The Christians go over there, and we put our churches there, and we celebrate, and everybody travels to Israel. I've been there, and it's a wonderful place to visit. But the city doesn't belong to Christianity. It doesn't belong to the church. It belongs to God. Simple as that. That's Jerusalem, God's city. So it's a powerful thing to think of not only the prophetic state of our nation, but the prophetic state of the world and what's happening in Jerusalem and what's happening to Israel. That's what we need to understand. And every step that you see happening in our society, and I want you to think of this theme throughout this message today, and I mentioned it yesterday, that it's not about politics, it's about prophecy. That's what all of this happening to America and in the world is about. It's not about who can win the election. It's not about who has the best party or who's the best speaker or who's the one that convinced everyone to vote for them. That's politics. And it's not about that, although that's what makes America tick. It's about prophecy and how God is using politics in order to bring about his prophetic will. Not about politics. It's about prophecy. Well, God is in control, and that's what prompts or is going to prompt the second coming of Jesus Christ. We have to be ready for the coming of the Lord. He's not coming as a thief in the night for us, because we're ready for the coming of the Lord. The world is going to see he's coming as a thief, but not you and I. If you're ready and you're here and you're saying, I'm serving you, God, and like the song we said, I'm going to take a trip on the good old gospel ship. You know, I want to be part of that gospel ship and part of the rapture of the church and part of being in heaven with the Lord. That's what I want to be able to see. So we're dynamically expecting the coming of the Lord. He's not coming for you as a thief to steal something away, but you're expecting the coming of the Lord. If you had a home, and probably all of us do, if you had a home and you knew the Lord was coming and you were home or something, you wouldn't tell him, well, just try to sneak in or, you know, be a thief. Or no, you open up the door and say, Lord, whatever I've got is yours. You know, everything of mine is yours. It belongs to you. So he's not coming for you as a thief. You're expecting the coming of the Lord. He's in charge. He's in control of all things. The times and boundaries of nations, however, are important. The scripture says in Acts chapter 17, and I have it there for you, it says that concerning God, that he is the God who made the world and everything in it. He himself gives life and breath to everything. From one man, which of course is Adam, he created all the nations. That's the prophetic state of America and the world, the nations. He created all the nations throughout the whole earth. God decided beforehand, when they should rise and when they should fall, he has determined even their boundaries. That's found in the book of Acts. God is the one who determines the boundaries of the nations. And some people have had issues with the boundaries of the nations of the United States. Some people have had issue with the boundaries of the USSR, say, as an example. Whatever the boundaries are, whether we like them or not, or whether we agree with them or not, the scripture clearly says that God's the one who does that for whatever purpose that we don't understand. And, of course, it involves the evil of man. Man is very evil, and man does things that he's not supposed to do. Babylon did it, and other nations, all nations do this in a bad way. Yet God is the one who says, I'm going to have the final glory. There's a passage that in the Bible, which I don't have it on my screen here. It just comes to me now. There's a passage that says that even the wrath of man will praise the Lord. Even man's wrath praises God. Because God knows how to take the wrath of man and use it for his glory. The evil of man, he knows how to turn it around and say, it was evil, and man did it as evil, but yet I'm turning it for my good, and I'm going to create something better. Well, some people will, they would say, say the USSR as an example, and say, well, the USSR, man, the devil really got in there and destroyed that nation. The devil destroyed the USSR. And now it's just Russia. They lost. There were 15 republics, and they lost them all, and now there's only Russia. Well, I'm here to tell you that, according to the scripture here, the devil didn't do it. God did it. He decides beforehand when they rise, when they fall, and he determines what their boundaries are. He's the one who does that. So he said it's time for the boundaries of the USSR to be closed and to be shut down. He does the same thing with all nations, and it's not going to be any different for the United States of America, whether he changes the boundaries or whatever he does, but he certainly determines when it's in its greatest strength and when it's in its weakest moment. Now, I love America. I was born here. My parents came from Italy, and I love America. I'm not one of those placard carriers or nothing like that, because I knew too much about eschatology. the doctrine of future things. I know what the future brings about. And so, but nevertheless, we're in a state of problems. We're in a state of trouble. And this is what's making the changes that's in America, and it's for a purpose. And the purpose is that God is readying the rest of the world. He's readying the Middle East. That's why he says, Jerusalem belongs to me. He's getting ready the Middle East. He's getting ready, but from armies of the East, which includes China and North Korea and Japan. And China just is trying to reach a deal with Russia concerning armaments and military, etc. It's about the armies of the North, which includes Europe and Germany or Turkey. And I'm sure it's going to include in the future America and what's happening around the entire world. I'm sure it's in God's plans, because he determines the rising and falling, and he determines the boundaries and what goes on. He's in control. This is why we point to the second coming of Christ. This is why we see what's happening in the world, and I love eschatology, the future things. And I try to make predictions. I don't make time predictions like I can't, for one thing, tell you when the Lord is going to come. Nobody can, you know. I can't tell you when the Lord is going to come, nor can I tell you who's going to win the election in 2020. I can't tell you that. I don't know, because I can't make time predictions. It's predictions that involve time. But I can make predictions that involve my study of the nations and figuring out what the scriptures say about what God is doing with countries and nations and how he's preparing those nations for the coming of the Lord, reading it with what's in the Bible. That part I try to do. I can't make a time prediction whatsoever. But all superpowers rise and fall. And so I'm talking about America, but superpowers rise and fall. They're built on these points that I make. As I study history, I'm in love with history too, by the way. I'm a history buff. I'll gobble up history. I've got stacks of history books, and I'm 77, so I'm trying to give my books away. And I've got two grandchildren that absolutely love history, and now a great niece. I found out yesterday, my wife's great niece loves history, so I'm gonna give my books to them and pass them out because of my love of history. Well, that's how I base what I can predict on is what happened in history. Figure out the political science of the day, and then with eschatology, future things in the Bible, I can make the predictions that I make. So here we know that nations rise and fall on these things. The military, which they have troops all over the world. That happened to the British Empire. It's happened to America. It's happened to other past superpowers. They become a global policeman, like that's what America is. That's a more modern thing. Nations of history weren't necessarily global policemen, but America is, meaning that we have our troops that can go anywhere in the world, and anything, any skirmish comes up, we try to send our troops there. We've helped the United Nations, and that's what superpowers like America does. So they're strong in the military, they're strong in political, they're in international relationships, they're strong with the economy. Everyone wants the American dollar. When you go to Israel, they'll want to sell you something. Little children, when you get off the bus and you're in Israel or Turkey, and they'll say, one American dollar. They hold out some beads or pearls or something. One American dollar, one American dollar. That's the currency since the end of World War II, when they established the trade agreements on the American dollar. Well, that's the economy. And also the social or the cultural, which involves and any great power spreads their morality, their religion, their language, their science, arts, technology, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the hardest one to unravel. The cultural takes longer to unravel, but the others can fall quite quickly, if necessary, through war. But these are the things that cause a superpower to rise, but it's also what causes a superpower to collapse. The superpowers will collapse because they can no longer militarily do what they used to be able to do. We can no longer be the global policeman. I predict that's going to be happening in the future. We cannot have our troops everywhere in the world. That's changing. Militarily, politically, it's changing. Donald Trump is seeing to that, where he's changed our political systems and our agreements throughout the world. And that's not a political statement. I say this through the eyes of prophecy. Donald Trump has changed that. And economically, I knew he was going to change things economically the day he was elected. And so he's done that. So these things are happening in the backside, and we're seeing the changes that are happening in the world because of that. Well, the Jews are back in their land. Israel is back in their land. And there were certain things that happened, and it involved war, that helped the Jews to get back to their land. And God needed America, and it's about the wars that established the nation of Israel in 1948. The wars that established Israel in 1948, God needed another superpower, because the British Empire, that was supposed to be helping the children of Israel over the years, was going to begin to collapse, and that's why America was established. In 1776, God needed another superpower because he had to bring the Jews to their land. The British weren't going to be able to do that. And I point that out in a book I'm writing now, the fact that the British Empire began to turn their back on the nation of Israel. That's not popular opinion or popular knowledge, I should say, but that's what began to happen. So God needed America. So the wars in 1948 with America, the British Empire, and Russia as superpowers, what they did is, in World War I, they fought against the central powers of the Ottoman Empire, and also, the central powers were Austria-Hungary, Germany, and we fought that war. And in World War I, when we fought that war, we defeated the central powers. And when we defeated the central powers, the Ottoman Empire, which was Islam, they lost control of Palestine that they had for 500 years. And right after the end of World War I, the Jews began to return to Israel at the end of World War I. This is the wars, and God was doing this. You might say, well, war is bad. Of course it's bad. War is one of the worst things that could ever happen. Some of you had military people in your family. Some of them were injured, perhaps, or killed. So war is a horrible thing. But yet, it's what God uses, and the Bible is full of war. It's full of war. And what God did as a result of war. Well, in the first war, 1915, 16, 17, 18, through there, we defeated the enemy, that enemy, and all of a sudden the Jews started to return. In World War II, we defeated Nazism. What was Adolf Hitler doing? Well, he was killing the Jews. He was killing them. And because of that war, at the end of World War II, the Jews were established in their land in 1948. And look how many people died as a result of those two wars. 60 to 80 million people died so that the Jews could return to their land. Now, no one says it that way. That's how I'm saying it. It's kind of blunt. And people dying so that something else could happen. But that's exactly what happened in World War I and World War II. You won't hear it on the news. You won't hear many people talk about it because they're not that interested in the Jews returning to their land. But one of the great hallmarks, horrible hallmarks, war is a horrible thing, but the great hallmark of the Jews anyway, is they returned to their land because of World War I and World War II. And of that 60 to 80 million people that were killed, half of them were civilians, civilian people. It's something to see, and to see history. America was also has been involved with Eastern nations that will eventually invade Israel. It says in Revelation 16 that the kings of the East might be prepared, the kings of the whole world actually, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty, Revelation 16. The presidents that have dealt with the armies of the East were Truman, when he found out that Israel was declaring themselves to be a nation in 45, he jumped on that. And then in 48, he had to face deal with China, the armies of the East, when they were promoting the North Koreans to invade South Korea, and all of a sudden the result of that is we've been at war with Korea for 70 years or more. Until recently they've been trying to do something about that, I guess, but that's war. And we stopped Korea at that 38th parallel because they were probably going to do something even greater, but God said, wait a minute, we have to wait for the time of the end. And they were stopped. And now God is dealing with this nation and other nations as a result of that. The ways of the kings of the East, Truman, Nixon, and Trump all dealt with that or are dealing with it. Also, America involved with the northern nations that will eventually invade Israel. These nations will invade Israel in the end. The armies from the East and now the armies of the North in Ezekiel 37 and 38. Gog of the land of Magog, the chief, Rosh is the Greek word, excuse me, not Greek word, the Hebrew word for chief. The Gog of the land of Magog, the Rosh prince, or the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, who were sons of Noah, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer, Togomar, they're going to come out of the north parts and they're going to invade Israel. And the presidents that have had to deal with that have been President Kennedy, President Johnson, President Reagan, President Obama, and President Trump. And the reason I'm bringing this all out is to show you that God uses the leaders of the world. He uses the leaders particularly of the superpowers, and he's used our presidents. And every president, practically in my lifetime anyway, every president have had something to do with the end times and have had something to do with the nation of Israel. I don't bash the presidents because I read what they do. I read what Trump has been doing. I've read what Obama was doing. And Obama, for one thing, one of the things he did was the fact that Obama said we have to renew our relationship with Cuba. And Obama was right on that. And Trump said Obama was wrong, but Trump was wrong, and Obama was right. Obama needed to do that, and America needs to do that. And there was other things that Obama did, too, that were critical and important for the end times. And people didn't like Obama. Just like I have conservative friends that didn't like Obama. But I also have liberal friends that don't like Trump. So that's okay. You can like them or hate them. We're not supposed to hate. But I'd rather read what they're doing and trying to find out what's preparing this world for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he uses the nations of the world. He's used America, and he's using our leaders. Has been using them and using them my whole lifetime. I was born during the days of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And in my lifetime, I can point to every president just about to say, this is how God used them to prepare for what we're facing today. Well, America was involved in the northern nations and the eastern nations, the northern nations, and also the presidents who have dealt with the Middle East. President Carter, he was a caretaker president, much like he was a Democrat, but much like Eisenhower, who was a Republican. I consider them both caretaker presidents. They were just taking care of the land. Not a whole lot maybe necessarily happened with them prophetically, but it did with Carter. I'll say that about Carter, because he made a deal between President Carter with Israel and Egypt when he brought them together, because the Bible says that Egypt is going to be destroyed. The Antichrist in Daniel 11, the Antichrist is going to destroy the nation of Egypt, but the nation of Egypt is going to recover, and there's going to be an altar to the Lord in the nation of Egypt, a nation that is 90% Muslim today. But God said that, and also Bush, President Bush, dealt with 9/11. Clinton with Israel and Palestine. Israel and Palestine, Clinton involved a deal between the Palestinians who were living in Israel. That's a precursor to the time when the Antichrist is going to make a deal between the Jews and the Arab people. That's what we're heading for. And that's what Carter has done, and that's what Clinton has done. But Obama has dealt with the Middle East as well, and so has Donald Trump. And we know that the reason for all of this is, but just that scripture I give, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof of the world and they that dwell therein. Not only does Jerusalem belong to the Lord, but the whole world belongs to the Lord. And that's why he's coming back. That's why he's returning to this earth. He's readying the world for his son's second coming. The son of God, Jesus Christ, is coming once again to the world. Well, let me go on here and talk about Jerusalem being the capital. That's what Donald Trump did. The important thing about our presidents is what they do. Ronald Reagan, say for instance, as an example, he stood in the collapse of the Soviet Union, it was important for them to collapse because they had a stranglehold on Eastern Europe, and the Vietnam War helped that, and so did their involvement in Afghanistan. So that's what happened there. And Ronald Reagan stood at the Berlin Wall, and he says, Mr. Gorbachev, remember that? Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. That's what he said. And the Pope got involved with it too at that time, if you remember correctly. And there was a pressure, and not long after that, the USSR collapsed. And God uses the words of a president, or the thoughts of a president. Why? Because we're a superpower. Now, how long we'll be a superpower depends. It depends on what's going to happen to our leadership and what's going to happen to whoever wins the next election or the one after that or the one after that or whatever. And by the way, I predict that it won't be long and we'll have a woman president, because that's a necessary thing to follow up with what's happening with our change of America. There will be a woman president shortly. I don't know when, but I believe that's going to happen. It's important that it happens, in my opinion. Well, here in December 6th, Jerusalem was declared the capital of Israel by President Trump. And May 14th, America moved its embassy to Jerusalem to coincide with the 70th anniversary of Israel's proclamation of independence. And President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who was Jewish, got involved. And this is what basically, I don't have it written in front of me, I could tell you some of the points of his speech. But basically, Jared Kushner, and I know people don't like Jared Kushner, but people don't like our leader. I just swallow it and say, that's okay, because I know what's happening. Jared Kushner, he stands up, and he says, he's in Jerusalem when they pronounced America's move to the embassy. If you saw his speech, I listened to every word of his speech, and I wrote down notes as I listened to his speech. And he says that Jerusalem is shared by the religions of the world, by church, by Christianity, by Islam, and by the Jewish people. And he was talking about the Temple Mount area. And he was basically underscoring that these religions and so forth are going to have to get along, and they are going to get along. That's what he was talking about, basically. And that's exactly what the future is going to be, because we're heading to globalism. We're becoming a globalist world, that whatever happens on one side of the world is going to be understood by this side of the world. And it's all because of the internet and our change of information and our exchange of ideas. And we're not only heading for globalization in the world politically, but economically. In every way, everyone's going to have to cooperate with everybody. And we're heading for globalism. Religion, we're heading for globalism. You won't be able to say, preach things about things some of the people of the press and politicians will think that you're saying bad, like you're against abortion. You have to accept abortion or homosexuality. You have to accept that. You can't say anything bad about anybody. That's where we're heading. And why? Because it's a part of the globalistic system, and everybody has to endure and get along and love and et cetera. And it doesn't really matter who you are, what you are, what you do. Just get along, you know. That's why Donald Trump is hated, because I think George Bush was a globalist. I think Barack Obama was a globalist. Donald Trump is not a globalist. He said so himself. He called himself a nationalist. And you might think, everyone thinks that's bad. But prophetically, I think that's good. Because what he's done is he's broken or wanted to change every treaty that we've had, you know, and he's getting scored by that, by people. They just don't like it, you know. But it's important, because my book, The Cultural Collapse of America, which I said I don't have with me, it's important to understand that America has to be moved out of the way. He wants to make America great again. I don't think America will ever reach the greatness that we had at one time, because we're going to be faced with Jeremiah 18 says, because when a nation I plant that nation, if it does evil in my sight, I'm going to forget about the good. That's where we are with America today. So Trump is part of that system of getting the world ready, because he's moving America out of the way. And these are the signs I read prophetically. And that's not a political statement. I'm not into politics. Don't walk out of here and say, I heard a political sermon. You did not hear a political sermon. You have to talk about politics in order to understand prophecy. There's only two systems in the Bible. There's only two powers in the Bible. There's only two powers, God and the devil. That's the only powers there are. Every other power comes under the umbrella of God and the devil. That's all there is. Just two powers. There's only two systems in the Bible. Only two. Religion, politics. You know, or in other words, in my case, I handle religion, but I handle prophecy. So it's prophecy and politics. You have to understand what politics is doing in order to understand the religious understanding or the prophetic understanding. That there's only two systems. Every other system comes under the head of religion and politics. That's all there is in the Bible. Well, you understanding this? Are you ready to throw me out the door? I'm not into politics. I look at politics, but I'm in love with prophecy. I'm in love with trying to understand what the leaders of the world are doing in order to get us to the place of where Jesus Christ is coming, and understanding the coming of Jesus Christ. Well, Jared Kushner said, basically, we'll have to all get along. And the Antichrist will come in, ready to sign a deal, according to Daniel 9. He'll sign a deal for 7 years, is what the Bible says, which we say is the tribulation. He's going to sign a deal, and it'll allow the Jews to build their temple. It'll allow the Palestinians or the Arabs, the Islamics, to have land, parts of the land, or divide the land, however they're going to do it. I'm not quite sure of that. But that's where it's headed, and that's what we're seeing happening in our world today. Well, look at this scripture about the Palestine and Armageddon. And I'm almost done. I have just a few more slides to go. It says here, Behold, in those days, and at that time, I'm going to gather all the nations and bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which is the Kidron Valley right outside of Jerusalem. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, because of Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they've divided up my land. That's Joel 3, verses 1 and 2. In other words, the gathering of the nations and bringing them to the Valley of Jehoshaphat for judgment, that's the Battle of Armageddon. And it's going to extend not just in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, but all the way north, probably into Jordan too, because I think that's where the Jews are going to flee to Jordan. But it's also going to go up north to Megiddo, approximately about 180 miles, according to the book of Revelation. And what's going to prompt the coming of the Lord and the Battle of Armageddon is, because they have taken my heritage Israel, they've scattered them, which they've done for hundreds and hundreds of years, and they also have divided my land. And we did that already. In 1947, the United Nations did it. And then there's going to come a time, and I don't know if it's going to be President Trump or another president that's after him, that's going to be there to be ready to sign. This is my opinion, okay? I can only talk about the dividing of the land. Here's my opinion. My opinion that one of the presidents will be involved with other nations, of course. They're going to sign the document with the United Nations, under the United Nations, or somehow, that will say that both the Jews and the Arabs can live in Jerusalem and live in Israel. I think that's still in the future yet. And that's the dividing of the land, what's going to prompt. And that's where we're headed. Now, Trump says it belongs to, he probably incited riot in the Arab world. He said Jerusalem's the capital. Everyone's all upset about that. But that's where it's heading, because now someone will have to figure out, I'm not sure it'll be Trump, someone's going to have to figure out a way in order to appease the Jewish people and appease the Arab people. And there comes the division of the land, and that's what's going to prompt the coming of the Lord. See, every step by these presidents and these leaders of superpowers, before it was America, it was other superpowers that God was using. God used all the superpowers, they weren't called superpowers, but all the superpowers in the Bible, like Babylon. He used Babylon. He used Assyria. He used Egypt. He used Greece. They're mentioned, Alexander the Great, not by name, but Alexander the Great is mentioned in the Bible. He used Rome. He uses these great powers because he has something to do in the world, and particularly with the nation of Israel, and that's why he's using the United States. So Jerusalem is the capital, and I'm sure it's going to cause all kinds of problems in the Arab world, and somehow that's going to have to be taken care of. Well, the future house of... the Jews and the Arabs return in the future. In Isaiah 19, we know that... I mentioned about Egypt, and the fact that Egypt's going to be destroyed by the Antichrist, but then will have to be built up again. There's going to be an altar to the Lord in Egypt. The Assyrians in Egypt, this is a great understanding of the book of Daniel. You have to know the book of Daniel to understand this scripture totally. But it does say, in that day, a future day, more than likely the millennial time, in that day, there's going to be a highway from Egypt into the valley of, from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians, Assyria's in the north, Egypt's in the south of Israel. Today it's Syria, but Syria or Assyria is in the north, Egypt's in the south of Israel. It says in that day there's going to be a highway from Egypt in the south to Assyria in the north. The Assyrians will go to Egypt and the Egyptians to Assyria. More than likely the highway is going to go right through Israel. The Egyptians and Assyrians will worship together. In that day Israel will be a third along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth. And listen to this. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, "Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance." Now, the problem is the Egyptians, as I said earlier, they're 90% Muslim. And so are the Assyrians. Syria of today, they're 90% Muslim. How is God going to do that? I haven't the foggiest idea how he's going to do that. But he's going to do it according to the scripture. It's yet for the future. And that's another thing that is happening. And somewhere, someone will make that deal, which is going to cause the Palestinians, in my opinion here now, and Jerusalem and Israel to get along together. But it's not going to be a permanent thing, because it's going to be the Antichrist that probably will do that. And the Lord is going to come back to fight against the Antichrist and the devil. And then eventually it's going to lead to them being converted and go into probably the millennium as my people, my handiwork, and my inheritance. Mamma mia, as my sainted grandmother would say. Mamma mia. Try to figure this whole thing out. I do my best. Let me just give you two more slides and it's over. The future house of God in Jerusalem, in that day, probably, as I said, what's going to happen in the future. But here it says in Isaiah 2, and also it repeats it in Malachi 4, by the way. Isaiah 2 and Malachi 4 are pretty much the same. It says, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and all nations are going to flow into the Lord's house. We know that our house is going to be in Jerusalem. Then they shall beat their swords into plowshares. That's, in other words, they won't have swords anymore. They're going to be just plowshares, or like instead of machine guns, and yeah, they're going to be things of the armaments of not armaments, but instruments of reaping and sowing and so forth. They're going to beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah 2, and that for sure is talking about the millennial time. And we are millennialists. We believe in the millennial reign of Christ. There are those who have Reformed theology and covenant theology that don't believe in a millennium, but we do. We believe there's a time of 1,000 years that's going to come. Lastly, what can we do? I said that all of this points to the coming of Jesus Christ. All of this points to the coming of Jesus Christ. All of it. Every president. I like Roosevelt. Roosevelt had an important part in World War II. Truman with North Korea and with Israel. And Eisenhower, which, as I said, was probably more of a caretaker president. But Kennedy, who confronted Russia, that we think is eventually going to invade Israel. He confronted them at the Cuban Missile Crisis. And he said, get those missiles out of Cuba. And because Khrushchev did that, within 2 years he lost his job. Kennedy. And after Kennedy was Lyndon Johnson, which everybody didn't like Lyndon Johnson because of the Vietnam War, but I say the Vietnam War was an important war because how it treated Russia, and it destroyed Russia, basically, that and Afghanistan. I said that earlier. And people didn't like. I feel sorry for those Vietnam vets that came back. I felt bad for them all, the whole time. I was never opposed to the Vietnam War. Then after that, each of the other presidents, you can look at every one of them. There was Nixon who had to resign. He opened up the door to China, an end time prophetic thing that was going to happen because China will be part of the armies of the East. After Nixon came, Gerald Ford was very brief, and then came Carter, and Carter struck those deals, as I said. Carter struck the deal between Egypt and Israel, and after Carter came Reagan, and Reagan said to Mr. Gorbachev, you heard me say that, tear down the wall, you heard me say that, and after Reagan came... George Bush, that's right, George Bush, the first one. And after George Bush was Clinton. Clinton was involved in the Middle East. And after Clinton came the second George Bush, 9/11. And then Barack Obama, I think was dealt a bad deal because he protested the takeover of Russia, of the Ukraine, and the Crimea Peninsula. He protested against that, but Russia did it anyway. So poor Barack Obama had to deal with that. That was a tough thing, I think. But everything, all these leaders and presidents, even up until today, all have something to do to ready America and ready the world for the coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming soon. The last scripture, last slide I'll give you is our strategy. We're living in what is called post-Christian America. We can't say. And people are saying this. Even our leaders are saying that America is no longer a Christian nation, or they will no longer be a Christian nation. That's what we're faced with. We thought we were a Christian nation from the beginning, although we didn't always do things perfectly right. But nevertheless, that's what was happening that back then, but understand in a post-Christian America these four things. Understand that you're above all the trouble and all the fray and all the political things and all the bad things you hear, you see on Facebook and on the internet, etc. Understand you're above all that because we're made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:6. And then also says your life is hid with God in Christ. We're sitting in those heavenly places. And finally, we have to look up and lift up our heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Everything that is going on in the world today, the state of our nation and the state of America and the state of the world, the prophetic understanding of America and the prophetic understanding of the world is happening right before your eyes. You're seeing it. It's not an accident. It's not the devil that's running through everything, although that's what he does. It's God has this all under control. He allows the devil to do all his bad things, and he's fighting the devil. The devil does. He's a player, like we're players as well. We do our thing, what we're supposed to do in relationship to God. The devil is in there trying to confuse everything, get everything all mixed up. That's the devil's job. But God, in the end, is in control of it all. The nation that says, I repent, God's going to forgive them. But the nation in which God established and they said they're going to do evil, God's not going to forget that, and he's going to punish them because of that. That's where we are with America. So what we need to do is we need to sincerely pray for America, don't we? And I want us to pray in closing, Pastor. Can we pray for America? Would you like to lead us in that prayer in a moment here? I'm asking the pastor to come and pray for America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for them all. I said some things about America, rather about the leaders, that maybe you liked what I said or maybe you didn't like what I said. But I can't help it. I'm just facing it honestly, what I see them doing, whether the world agrees with them or not. Nevertheless, that's how God uses these men and these women. And God is ready to do something even greater in America. Maybe a great revival, Pastor. Despite what's happening to America, and despite what happens to the world, God always can send a revival despite what happens to the nation. No matter what nation you talk about in the past, God can send a revival, and we need revival. This church here, Norwich Assembly of God, what? We need a revival, don't we, Pastor? We need a revival. We need a revival in the town of Norwich, a city of Norwich, or town of Norwich. You need a revival. Other towns and cities of America, there has to be a revival. America can fall apart. America can be troubled. I love America. I love it. I said that earlier. But we need to pray for America and our leaders, and particularly for a revival in the land. Amen. Before the coming of the Lord, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. And God is in charge and God is in control. Amen. Pastor, if you'd come.
Thank you. Very much. Thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Siriano. That was a lot of information, but well said and well spoken. And may I say before we pray, and not just our leaders, but I would say, especially in the times that we live in, Putin, Netanyahu, these individuals, if we look at local news, we're going to get a lot of things, and I'm not saying there aren't important things happening domestically in our culture and things that we need to be concerned about and we need to pray about, and there certainly is. But one of the things that we don't get too often in local news, and I try to keep up with local news, the one disappointment that I have in that is the lack of what's going on in the world, politically and economically, I wish we had another session where we could, talk about the different geopolitical changes that have happened and are happening now, that are paving the way for the Armageddon and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. For one, as I was sitting there, Crimea, I just thought that was a hostile takeover, not realizing that's critical to prepare the way for the armies of the North to come down, and we're referring, the reference is to the book of Ezekiel, to come down and invade Israel and to fall upon the mountains of Israel, as Scripture states. Where does America fall in this? Greg and I were talking yesterday. America is not an old, ancient nation that is in the book, in the Word of God. It is a new nation that is comprised of many nations with European English roots. But I will say this regarding America and praying for it. And I know God has used America. God has used America spiritually as far as the spread of missionaries. Geopolitically, which any time regarding the nations, it relates to Israel. And it's amazing how things do relate to Israel, even through the Dark Ages. God has used America. But as you have brought out, Brother Siriano, America or any other nation, if it turns its back on God, which America has been in the process of doing, we don't acknowledge God as creator. We're kicking him out of the public square. We don't value his creation. We embrace abortion. We don't embrace his design. We redefine the first gift that man has given mankind, and that is the gift of marriage, man and woman. In fact, now science has come to the place now where they're trying to undo the creative DNA that is in people by taking poor, confused young people and selling them the lie that they can change their gender, which is just thrusting them into greater chaos that only God and God can bring them out of. And the fourth great sin, and I've preached on this on more than one occasion here, the fourth great sin of America, which we're in the process of committing, is turning our backs on the nation of Israel. Jesus saying to Abraham, but also saying to the world way back in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. America has a lot of issues going on, but four great sins. Acknowledging God as creator. The redefinition of marriage and of gender, of God's creation. Abortion, the taking of human life, thou shalt not kill, and our dealings with the nation of Israel. Let me share what God spoke to Solomon back many, many years ago at the dedication of the temple. You all know it. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's stand together this morning and let us ask God that God would move upon the hearts of our legislators. I fear for America. And as Brother Siriano shared, and let me share with you the words of Christ in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, I believe, verse 21. A house divided against itself shall not stand. The falling of this nation, I don't believe, will come from the out. It will come from within, and it's happening even as we speak right before our eyes. We, as a nation, hate each other. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. We should be a light. We should be above the fray. But all we see are people yelling and screaming and now even committing violence against one another. How can a nation stand or continue if it continues to do this? And the answer, according to Jesus, is it cannot. May God bring a healing to this nation. And the only way healing is going to come to this nation is through his church. Amen? And his church being united in the name of Jesus under the cause of Christ. And not getting into the divisions of the enemy and the sin of the deceit of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus.